Can you just say your name to identify the recording, please?
Yes, I'm Ben Allen.
I'm here with Ben Allen at the Folkestone Triennial, and I wanted to ask you, Ben, first of all, with any piece of public sculpture, how did you think of the idea? Where did the idea come from initially?
We were approached quite late on in the process, I think 3 months ago, and when we were talking to Lewis and the curatorial team here, he sort of mentioned he was quite keen for an immersive work. And my background working in the art world, I worked with artists such as Ulrifer Eliasson, making very immersive works, but also being an architect, that's something that it sort of comes quite naturally to us, wanting to fill a space, and a space that you walk into, through, around. So, and he showed us the space, and it's this almost double height space, but it had quite strange acoustic. It was actually quite an alien space, and it was being relatively underused. So our first thought was really just that we need to fill this space up, and you know, that's what we do quite well. And I started thinking about putting a forest in there somehow. And then I was sort of traveling around with these sort of ideas, and at some point I sort of thought it would be quite interesting to do a study of Gothic architecture, because it's something which is very interesting to us. I run an architect studio, and it's something which is touches on a couple of themes that were interesting to us. One of which is that Folkestone is a connection between England and France, or historically was, and that Gothic is not exclusively Anglo-French, but it's predominantly Anglo-French, and particularly in this kind of post-Brexit world, the idea of celebrating something which isn't just international, but actually brings together two cultures, also something that a lot of people might think is a very English architecture style, and actually, you know, has, like a lot of architecture, has arrived on English shores from somewhere else. And the idea of sort of celebrating that all these things, something that you might identify with as being something that you connect with, you feel very much as yours, is actually might be borrowed from somebody else. And I really like that. Not because it's good or bad, I think it's just a lovely thing that you kind of appropriate these things and you take them as your own. And so, but also I worked in Germany for about 10 years, and I became really interested in sort of pre-Bauhaus expressionist architecture, and it was sort of brief flourishing before modernism, Second World War and modernism, and modern architecture became very much sort of utilitarian about building social housing, which is fantastic, but it was quite innocent exploration, trying to sort of explore and find a new language for architecture. And often Gothic architecture, expressionist architecture, was often very sort of vertical, borrowed from Gothic. So there was also a connection of this expressive form and these vertical lines and how they lift the soul and how they make people feel. And essentially that's what we're interested in is, as architects, is how buildings make people feel. And I think it's something which is, you know, there's a lot about how buildings look and how they function, particularly in this sort of social media saturated world. The idea of feeling, and you know, even this room we're in at the moment, upstairs, the way the sound is reverberating because all the walls are hollow, has a very specific, you know, people that are listening to this might actually be able to imagine what space we're in, because they, if they really try, for, you know, if you ask people, is this wall solid or not, they'll say, I don't know, and then you say, think about it, and people can tell. So the sense that people are actually much more emotionally intelligent in the way they relate to buildings than actually they often think they are, and really the space is a challenge to people to try and to actually sort of, you know, explore the space in a sort of sensory sense and sit in one corner and dwell in the space and then take a seat in another part of the space and, you know, just really try and understand it in a sensory sense rather than just look at it, even though it's quite visually engaging. But I think more than that, hopefully it's a space which engages people's senses, and I hope that people will not just come and take a picture, but they'll spend a bit of time and think about lots of the different shape arches and these things.
I'm going to stop one second. I'm just going to pop, I'm not even going to pause it. I'm just going to close the window. There's a reason. child's screen, a child just screamed then.
Yeah.
And when you're editing, just a sound like that is quite invasive.
Okay.
Because it kind of makes people react to.
Yeah, sure.
Know, it's obviously where it is, but that's fine. I will just chop that bit out in the middle. Holding some questions. Okay, back again. That was an edit point. One thing I found really fascinating for me for the space was you come in and you give a little hint of what it's like. You've got that kind of entrance part, and then, you know, very like in a cathedral, you go in and it reveals itself in all its glory. And it struck me, you also feel you're contained within something. You're looking up and it felt like I was inside the bins of a kind of whale or something. Because of that very particular, the way that you physically make the work, and I saw it being sawn, you know, all the mechanics of the slotting together of it. Mm. And I wanted to ask a little bit about that, because that in itself is an art, to get everything to fit and notch together. Mm. Is that really complicated?
It's pretty complicated. I mean, I think we, at some point about halfway through the process, I said, you know, I wish we'd done something a bit more simple. And somebody said, who knows, I work quite well, said, that's not what you do. And, you know, I like complicated buildings, and I like elaborate things, and this is pretty elaborate, and it took a lot of, you know, discussions within our studio with fabricators and the guys who built it eventually about how it fits together and what would happen if one bit didn't fit, would the rest of it not fit? And because, you know, when you make something with this kind of modern fabrication means, you can make a lot of stuff, so the whole thing is cut and it's built in 3 days. If we had a problem on day one, it would have been an artwork which was basically a big game of Jenga rather than, you know, like this space that we've created. So yeah, there was a lot of time went into considering and reconsidering and reconsidering and trying to think of all the different possibilities of how things fit and don't fit together. But it's essentially a big jigsaw puzzle. It's like everything slots together, and it actually went up amazingly quickly and luckily without any hiccups. And it was actually very exciting because most of the stuff we build takes months to build, and this went up in 3 days, and it was a bit of an event. You know, all the people that worked here were coming and poking their heads through the door, which was also great.
There's something else about it as well, though. We're in a place, and lots been talked about the fabric of towns, and the way you've built it, often in construction, there's a kind of underlying shell which then gets covered up.
Mm.
So it made me think a lot about that, how you build things and you construct things, and then how it's actually constructed is hidden from view. And you've kind of revealed a construction of something, you know, its heart, if you like. Was that very much on your mind as well?
Yeah, I think the way things are made is vital. I think most, you know, artists, designers, architects are very interested in the process and also the way you can read things, how readable something is. But I think a lot of contemporary architecture is not readable for people, and I think that's a real shame, because in a way the modernism was reacting against Victorian architecture that was, all the ornament wasn't handcrafted, it was made in a factory, but actually those buildings were solid, and you could actually understand this was, you know, terracotta. It actually kind of, you can sort of see it's cast, and it wasn't carved out of stone, or that the bricks, you can see where they were sort of chiseled and worked. I mean, I think modern construction hides almost everything, and I think that's a real shame. Our buildings often, you know, all the walls are hollow. The best way of insulating them is with styrofoam. There's a lot of fakery that goes on, and I think that's a real challenge. And as a young practice, we're really interested in that challenge. We don't have all the answers by any means, but we're interested to try and make buildings that, you know, people like solid buildings. That's why they like old buildings. One of the reasons they like old buildings, it's not necessarily good for the environment to build everything out of solid stone, but is there a way we can give buildings a sense of solidity? And it comes back to this idea of how spaces feel and how people react to them, that you know, Victorian houses that people love. They love them because they can kind of feel they're solid and they feel a sense of enclosure. Like you said, you go in and it made you feel like you're in the belly of a whale. I love the idea that there's a sort of warmth you get from being inside something. And this sort of inside-outside space, you know, we're in the north of Europe. It's like sometimes being inside looking out is as good as being outside, and or sometimes you don't always want to see the sky. And there are, we actually almost have, you know, there are so many different ways you can engage with our towns and our environment that that I think, you know, that you know, people don't really think about as much. There's the idea of modern architecture, it's all about big windows, and all the office buildings in London are just sort of floor ceiling glass. So, well, is that really what you want? I mean, actually light coming through a hole in the wall is an amazing thing. You know, you can see it moving from day to evening around the room, and that's actually, you know, that's an artwork in itself.
I think there's something else as well. You touched on it earlier, that it was made in quite a short time, and obviously in your collaboration, in your firm that you work with, your architectural practice, the projects are rather different from an art project. So tell me about why art projects? Why do you want to be involved in art projects?
Well, I mean, I've worked with a lot of artists, and I almost given up architecture at some point, but I sort of, the art projects I worked on became more and more architectural, they became bigger and bigger. And the last project I worked on was the facade of the concert hall in Iceland, which then won the European Union Architecture Award, which, I mean, there's no brag, it's just sort of an irony that I sort of ended up doing something which was very much in the sort of, you know, in the kind of architectural world. You know, I, having worked with a lot of artists, I don't consider myself an artist, I'm an architect. If something that we do in our practice is considered an artwork, I think that's wonderful. But in a way, part of the kind of Gothic architecture approach was because I thought it was nice to distinguish ourselves as architects. That, you know, and I think it's the mutual respect is between artists and architects is lovely. And I think there has definitely been a blurring of lines, and it's fantastic to be invited to, you know, this was an art commission and it was given to us as an art commission, and that gave us a lot of freedom. So we really have enjoyed that freedom, and it's been an amazing thing that Creative Foundation commissioned an architecture practice to do this space and to be participating. But, you know, I also really respect the other people that are taking part as artists. And, you know, I think in some ways we've taken this opportunity and used it as a vehicle for our experimentation. And it's also been a research project. We've spent a lot of time looking at all different, I mean, Gothic architecture is very, very geometric. So we've actually created a small sort of book about the sort of geometric studies we did to understand all of these geometries. But, you know, I think I was actually, when I left Berlin, I was actually sort of fleeing from the art world because I just really liked the idea of building buildings. And it, you know, it's, you know, even hospitals, schools, you know, building buildings people use, I think is an amazing thing. And it's very worthwhile, and particularly after the crisis, I felt like it would be more the case that we needed good buildings, and Britain's had a 20-year building boom, and there's a lot of not very good buildings that look quite shabby, and I feel that there's a kind of certain rebuilding needed after, you know, to get the sort of public confidence back in architecture, that we can build things that look great after 10 years and that people can connect with, and in the way that people connect with buildings from other periods. But I still love working on art projects, and so this has been a very welcome return for me. And one of the things I love the most is the sort of ability, you know, conceptually, when you work on an architecture project, kind of people tend to want it to be very much about one thing. You know, it's a green wall, or it's like about the plaza, or it's about, you know, and in the art world, people want it to be about lots of, you know, the sort of richness of sources. And I really enjoyed that with this project, that it actually can actually be about a whole series of different things that interest us. It doesn't have to be one of them. And there's a freedom that we can sort of go forward without it. He's sort of developing a concept. When I worked in Berlin, I used to write statements, you know, they're kind of artist, sort of statements for artists. And I really, you know, it was a really fascinating thing. Some people are very good at that. Artists are very good at talking about their work, and some people, you know, give you just a little tiny little sort of one word or two, and you have to kind of write about it and then keep going back to them. And I love, you know, the sort of building of a more elaborate concept, and how then people, different people can take different bits from it, and some of it might not be written, it might just be sort of never even come out, but that there's, you know, that there's a sophistication to it, and that's something that I've kind of missed in the last few years of I've been working more in architecture. This, I was teaching for a couple of years and trying to sort of explain to the students that, you know, just to say my building's about, you know, trees or whatever, that actually it can be about lots of different things, and actually as you go through the project some things fall to the sort of to the side and some things become more important, and some things can be post-rationalized and some things don't. So that's something that I really enjoy, and this project's been very fun.
And biggest influences on you architecturally? Is there any building that as a child you walked into and found fascinated or made you want to become an architect?
Well, I think, I mean, I mentioned this kind of German expressionism sort of pre-war. I mean, as a period, anything from arts and crafts to sort of early days of Bauhaus, I think is absolutely fascinating, and I find, you know, really exciting. I think, I mean, just something that's, since I've moved back to the UK, arts and craft architecture is the diversity and the, you know, the sophistication of this sort of melding of different shapes and forms is actually very sophisticated. And obviously, you know, people know arts and craft architecture from the UK around the world, but it's just reminded me how, you know, clever and elegant and engaging some of these buildings are. As one building, I would say the Soane Museum, just because I think somehow it comes up again and again in our practice, and the idea of a sequence of spaces. Mm. I mean, not only is it the perfect Wunderkammer, you know, I think, which is something which I've worked on quite a number of art projects which have embraced this idea of a display box, a chamber of curiosities, but sequentially to go through that building is absolutely phenomenal, and it's also an addition of many buildings, and a lot of architecture these days is about adding on to existing buildings. So I love the idea that, you know, you can make a little pavilion and then build another pavilion on, and that actually it can be a little mini architecture work in its own right when you work with an existing building.
Thank you, that was great. You gave a really good interview.